Hello, dear friends. You are listening to 3CR on the stolen lands, unceded stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people today. And the program you're listening to is Community Centromere, a program which is for the promotion of action by people on our lands, on the lands on which we live, to make change and fight against the machine of destruction, which is starting to get slightly out of control. And we will talk about that on today's program. My name is Hank, your presenter. And there's just a hiatus for the program Spoken Word and also Raise the Roof and Uprise Radio during the summer programming period. By the way, in the background, this is our intro track. It's called Diri Diri Sokerjan by Rota Romani, which is, of course, Romani, beautiful Romani music from Moja Rosak. And yes, today's program will follow on from last week, where we were speaking about the fight for our rights of association and assembly and protest, which are under attack by state forces and laws. We'll listen to a report from the Melbourne Activist Legal Service on police and media land forces regarding the land forces protest that happened last year. Also, considering it such an urgent and terrible threat, growing threat of the force of imperialism represented by this terrible attack on Venezuela that happened, there was a rally about that on Monday, and we will be letting the voices that spoke at that rally be heard today on the show. And hopefully that'll be of interest and importance for the struggle that will have to grow and continue to fight such things at the moment, which are going on. All right, so without further ado, we will start on the topic of the protest laws and the behaviour of the government in regard to trying to limit our rights to protest, which is so important for the progress of our species on this planet. I'll just mention first that there was a report in Michael West Media, independent journalists online. It's at michaelwest.com.au. It says it's been revealed through FOI. the headline is Australia's Secret Anti-Protest Force for US Department of War. To quote, as public concerns over the AUKUS alliance rise, with expanding US bases in Australia and Donald Trump's belligerent conduct, FOI documents reveal the government is secretly expanding its US Department of War protest force. This is headed by Commissioner Chrissy Barrett of the AFP, and it's called the AFP AUKUS Command, established with little fanfare and headed by AFP Assistant Sandra Booth. This tells you how important it is that we do continue our protests. Otherwise, they wouldn't be organizing with the U.S. military to limit our rights in such a way. Another quote from that article: AUKUS command's roles are centered on security for the AUKUS nuclear submarine project and increasingly include, quote, public order management. But its mandate is much broader than protecting nuclear submarines. That's the context of the next thing you will hear, which is, as I said, is the MALS, which is Melbourne Activist Legal Service, did a report on the Land Forces protest and the behaviour of the police and the media in regard to that. Okay, here it goes.
Sophie from Melbourne Activist Legal Service, or MALS. And Sophie is joining us to unpack the service's Legal Observer team report on the policing of the Disrupt Land Forces protests, which was published on Monday this week. The report covers legal and human rights concerns about police conduct at and media reporting on protest actions undertaken to disrupt the Land Forces Exposition, so-called Australia's largest defence industry event, at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre from the 11th to the 13th of September 2024. You can read the full report and visit MAL's website by following the links in our show notes, which we will post on 3cr.org.au/Thursday-breakfast-later-today. But for now, welcome, Sophie, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, thank you very much for making the time. So to begin with, can you tell us about the work that went into producing the report? So how does Melbourne Activist Legal Support go through compiling and analysing documentation of protest policing? And what are you looking for when you're analysing these materials?
Yeah, so our reports are based on the observations of our legal observers who attend protests. So we had quite a large team attending on multiple days over the Disrupt Land Forces protest event. So our legal observers monitor and record policing at protest events. And then from those observations, we spend, depending on the length of a report, but for this one, quite a significant amount of time, compiling and collating all of the observations that our legal observers made. We also take written statements and reports from people who were at the protests, from other community collectives and organisations and services, and we also consider video and footage that's been posted online, and as well as media and communications from the police and politicians. Then our legal observer team will work together with other MALS members to put that into a report, a written document report, where we compare what was observed with legislation, police policy, case law, international law and guidelines. And from those comparisons, we develop a commentary on how the policing on the day compared against the laws and policies that usually should dictate what police are able to do.
Mm. So it is an immense amount of work that goes into this and really relies on, you know, triangulating multiple sources and making sure that there is an expert eye, you know, cast over all of this material to figure out some of those key concerns and identify pathways for change or redress, whatever the case may be. And I know that the report covers a couple of different key areas. So the police use of force and weaponry, special powers, arrests, treatment of legal observers, and disinformation and misinformation in the media. So focusing on that first section, can you talk to us about some of the particular concerns that you identified in the conduct as well as the equipment deployed by both Victorian and New South Wales police at Disrupt Land Forces? And did MALS identify any unprecedented or uniquely concerning incidents, including related to the use of potentially lethal devices?
Yeah, so we saw a lot of different uses of force and weaponry across the protests, specifically on Wednesday the 11th, which was the focus of most of the media attention and was the biggest day of protest. Most of the weapons and behaviours of Victoria Police that they used on that day. We have seen at other protest events, but I think what was different about the Land Forces event was that they were all happening together. They were all happening at the same time. There was repeated uses. So we had obviously an extensive array of what it should be properly termed potentially lethal weapons, like the VKS pepperball gun. We had baton round launches. We're not sure what exactly was used to create the flashbangs, but some sort of flashbang device, OC spray and foam. We've had police using handheld batons, mounted police using whips to as in place of batons, and police also using their riot shields as a offensive weapon. And that's on top of police use of force just with hand using their hand combat skills. So it was an extensive and heavy use of a variety of weapons and a variety of use of forces, including those potentially lethal weapons. And from our observations, we believe that there was multiple and repeated instances where police appeared to go beyond the confines of their lawful and policy restrictions on their use of force. So things including, using force and on people who were trying to move away from the police, people who had their backs turned to the police and so were unaware of the police coming up behind them, people who were trying to comply with police directions to move away but didn't have time to. So all in all, what I'm trying to say is that these people were obviously posing no physical threat to police, and the use of force on them appeared to be grossly disproportionate.
Not to mention, the bystanders and passers-by that also got caught in this, journalists, media workers who were there, medics as well, who and legal observers themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's when you have police kind of operating in this chaotic, overzealous manner, it is rife for the risk of, you know, anyone to get caught up in that, whether it's the protesters themselves who don't deserve that level of force, as well as all of those people that you've mentioned who may not even have been involved in the protest itself at all.
Yeah, it is, yeah, deeply concerning to see that. And, has echoed some of the protest policing that we've seen in NARM in the past. But I also wanted to turn here to the legal environment that the event was situated within, because we know that the police were significantly empowered through the Control of Weapons Act and the Terrorism and Community Protection Act. So how were these used to enable the policing that we saw at Disrupt Land Forces? And how does that legislation enabling those actors line up against, you know, legal protections that we do have and should expect for protesters, legal observers, medics, journalists and also bystanders?
So we had the Control of Weapons Act was used to create a designated area in the lead up to the protest, and which is something that commonly happens to some degree in Victoria, and hopefully not, but potentially will be happening more in the future, as well as you noted, the anti-terrorism, the Terrorism Community Protection Act, which also created a target area. So we didn't see many instances, or we didn't have any reports of people being stopped or searched or questioned where the police said that they were using the anti-terrorism power to do that. We did have, you know, many, many instances of where the police were conducting searches and mass searches, or the use of threat to conduct searches and saying that that was that they were empowered to do so under the Control of Weapons Act. Neither of those acts actually prohibit people from engaging in protest areas within a designated area or within a target area. So what we saw, the main vehicle that these acts were being used for was to essentially create a sympathetic media and a sympathetic political and public support in the lead up to the protest event that would kind of preemptively condone the use of heavy police violence that was expected, and simultaneously demonise protesters by labelling them as people who need to be controlled under a Control of Weapons Act, or people who need to be controlled under and Anti-Terrorism Act. But neither of those acts, you know, actually take away those rights that we have to protest or the rights that we have for legal observers, medics, journalists and bystanders to exist in those spaces. And neither of those acts absolve police of having to abide by legislative and policy restrictions on their uses of force.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the report's emphasis and your emphasis just now on the media environment and the sort of drumming up of political, political furor around the Disrupt Land Forces protests as a way to almost, you know, push to shift the social license for police to transgress those laws that already protect people. You know, as you're saying, these aren't mutually exclusive legal instruments. They, you know, even though we, including myself, might be very critical of the way that the Control of Weapons Act and the Terrorism and Community Protection Act are deployed, it's not meant to be mutually exclusive with the other legal protections. And yet, when we see a media environment created where there is such, moral panic drummed up about the protests and about how, how people are behaving in exercising their own freedom of speech and expression and a political expression, it creates quite a dangerous environment for protesters where there's... there's a risk of real harm to protesters. And so zooming out to this broader context of state responses to public assembly over 15 months of Israel's genocide of Palestinians, I also wanted to touch on the social cohesion and anti-terrorism legislation that's currently in the Victorian Parliament, which will sit again next week. And recommendations made in Mal's report require significant political will to be enforced. So can you share your thoughts on how some of these recommendations that you've made will be received in the current political climate, considering that these bills are in the pipeline?
Yeah, it's a really interesting or difficult time for protest rights at the moment with, these bills currently being drafted and ultimately will be considered that are going to significantly impact protests. The rhetoric that's being used behind these bills to, frame protesters in a way that stigmatizes and demonizes them, similarly to the way that it was preemptively to condone those police violence, that these laws are, making connections between protests and terrorism acts, and these laws are making connections between protests and violent anti-Semitic actions. And, those kind of erroneous conflations being used to usher in quite extensive additions to police powers and things that, would normally people would be up in arms about, like laws telling you what clothing you can wear, that is all of a sudden being considered as a rational response. A lot of our recommendations, on the face value, they seem quite just common sense. Our first recommendation is that as a bare minimum, Victoria Police take proactive measures to ensure that its members, including interstate police brought to Victoria, comply with laws and policies governing the use of force at public assemblies. That in of itself, that shouldn't be anything politically controversial. That should be something that we all shouldn't have to have that as a recommendation. But in this current climate where we have the social cohesion bill and the anti-terror bill, it is going to be a difficult time, I think, in the first half of those years, if those bills are presented to Parliament. We obviously have Greens members in Parliament who support the right to protest and have been pushing back against the dangerous media and general political framing of the DLF protest. But it is a time where we really need to be making some, public outcries and pushing back against these proposed new laws. And MALS is part of a network of other civil society organisations that are opposed to these protest laws, and we are, working with them to try and have some sort of, consistent coalition response and provide help and assistance for the public to also get in touch with the Attorney General and their members of Parliament to, ensure that these bills are not passed in silence, but that we do everything that we can to protect the right to protest and to try and, get the police to, at a bare minimum, comply with the existing laws and hopefully create more political space so that, Australia's democratic you know, kind of civil liberties space isn't further encroached and shrunk.
Yeah, and I think that last thing that you mentioned about the further encroachment and shrinking is an important way to think about this. You know, I almost assess a community campaign that challenges the legislation that's currently you know, in Parliament and being deliberated over next week as a form of harm reduction, as a way of, you know, preventing the further further overreach, because the laws as they currently exist already threaten protest rights, and we've seen a shrinking of that space over time. So we'd be really keen to have Mals back on to continue talking about how this legislation is being brought forward and unpacking some of the key issues with that in the future.
Yeah, and it's hard to see, you know, when you see what happened at DLF and the, you know, incredible uses of force and control that were exerted, you know, the question is like, well, what were you wanting to do that you weren't able to do? You know, what extra laws were needed? Because what we saw was incredible violence by the police, an incredible curtailment on people's right to gather and demonstrate. And, you know, it really begs the question, what did you want to do that you weren't able to? What was the extra violence or the extra, encroachment on rights that you feel you weren't able to do under the current laws that are already extensively available to repress protests?
Yeah, that is a terrifying point. And on that, I do want to wrap up by asking, how can people support Mal's work, including by becoming a legal observer and engaging in that training with you guys?
Yeah, so becoming a legal observer is a great way to join Mal's, also just a great way to upskill yourself on the right to protest and rights and responsibilities with police at protest. So you can join up to our mailing list or follow our Instagram account where we make announcements about new trainings. We also run Know Your Rights sessions for protest groups and collectives, which you can request, and that's one way to get in touch with us. You can also just become a member of MALS and join a MALS working group. So we have a media and comms team, we have a research and writing team, we have a training team, we have a fundraising team. We also, if there's any lawyers who are listening, we want to get in touch to volunteer to give advices to activists who may have been arrested or charged or targeted by police for political activity. And other ways that are just really important to support Mal's work and the community in general is to, you know, learn your rights, get upskilled on how to assert your rights, share legal rights information with the community. And if you yourself have any spare coin or if you've got wealthy friends or family who want to make a donation to Mal's to help us, you know, kit our legal observers out with vests and with resources and for printing legal rights info and, you know, running the trainings and all of that, you can jump on our website, which is mals.au.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sophie. I really appreciate you unpacking the report with us and taking us through some of those concerns about, you know, Victoria Police and New South Wales Police, you know, conduct at the Disrupt Land Forces protests in September last year.
You're listening to 3CR
Community Radio.
855 AM.
Yes, Community Radio, 855 AM, and also at 3cr.org.au. So you just heard a recording of about the report from Mals on the behaviour of the police and the media regarding the Disrupt Land Forces protest that happened last year. And it's a good idea to, if you want to check out Mals, just put Mals in, put them in your search engine, check them out, Melbourne Activist Legal Service. And as she said, you can join their working groups. If you're involved in activism, you can also have Know Your Rights sessions organised by them, which would be very useful. and yes, that brings us on to our next topic, which will come up after a piece of music. But just the main point is that the excessive use of force by the police, which is beyond what, you know, the law prescribes that they should be doing. You know, pepper ball guns and OC spray and foam and handheld batons and whips used by people on horse. It almost reminds you of the moving in the direction of the famous Odessa Steps scene from the Battleship Potemkin film, if you know that, by Eisenstein in 1925. I think that film was made. It's well worth watching if you haven't seen it. But yes, it's the using these force to protect. What were they protecting? They were protecting the military-industrial complex. And we'll move on to that after the next song.
爱情不过是一种普通的玩意儿一点也不稀奇男人不过是一件小钱的东西有什么了不起。 爱情不过是一种普通的玩意儿，一点也不稀奇。男人不过是一件小钱的东西，有什么了不起？
是爱上了你，就死在我。
Yes, that was Grace Chang, the famous Grace Chang from Hong Kong, singing the Latin-inspired song Carmen. Just a reminder, we have to keep our spirits up and enjoy nice music and culture to keep us strong to stand up and keep going against these things that are happening in the world at the moment, which brings us on to the topic, of course, that is on everybody's lips at the moment, which is the disgusting imperialist attack on Venezuela by the forces of the United States of America. We could say that this we need to struggle against this, and our struggle needs to grow, and we need to unify opposition to all of these forms, including those that people have been doing so heroically against what's happening in Gaza, against extrajudicial acts by criminal imperialists led by unhinged psychos, because I don't think I've got any other way of describing it. And people did that. There was a protest that pulled together in a very short period in front of the Flinders Street station the other day, and I have some. There were some recordings made by our lovely current affairs team. Well, actually, yes, our current affairs coordinator here at 3CR, who did the good job of getting their voices on digital format, and we'll be playing some of those. I think it would be best to start off with the first speakers, who very appropriately on these stolen lands on which we live, unceded stolen lands, was the a representative of the BPU, the Black People's Union. Here we go, right here.
I would like to introduce Jasper, the secretary of the BPU, to give a statement.
The BPU stands in full and unwavering solidarity with the people of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela in the face of an open criminal act of imperialist aggression carried out by the United States colonial regime. The bombing of Venezuelan cities and the reported kidnapping of Venezuela's democratically elected president is an assault on sovereignty, self-determination, and international law. Yes. The United States has once again demonstrated that it recognizes no boundary, no people, and no political process it is unwilling to destroy in its pursuit of domination. The attack on Venezuela is an attack on the right of nations to determine their own political, economic, and social futures free of coercion, invasion, and plunder. It is an assertion that imperial power alone decides legitimacy, leadership, and life itself. Venezuela has been relentlessly targeted for refusing submission. Its crime, in the eyes of empire, is the assertion of control over its own resources and the refusal to surrender them to foreign capital. The history of US hostility towards Venezuela is inseparable from its vast oil reserves, independent political project, and its resistance to neoliberal restructuring. Sanctions, sabotage, economic warfare, and now direct military violence form a continuous strategy of resource theft and political subjugation. The kidnapping of a democratically elected official marks a further descent into barbarism. Abduction by a foreign military power is state terrorism. It exposes the fiction that the United States acts in defense of democracy. Democracy does not arrive on missiles. Self-determination is not enforced through bombardment. Legitimacy is not produced through kidnapping. The people of Venezuela have the right to choose their leadership, shape their institutions, and chart the future without interference. That right does not require approval from Washington. It does not depend on compliance with imperial interests. It exists by virtue of collective political will and national sovereignty. The BPU rejects all attempts to normalize or justify this aggression. We reject the propaganda it portrays imperial violence as humanitarian intervention. We reject the narrative that it erases US responsibility by obscuring it behind vague language of security or stability. There is nothing stabilizing about empire. There is nothing humanitarian about domination. This attack must be understood as part of a broader imperial project that targets any nation daring to resist extraction, exploitation, and control. Solidarity with Venezuela is solidarity with all peoples facing imperial violence. It is solidarity with the principle that no empire has a right to rule the world. The BPU calls for the immediate cessation of all US military action against Venezuela, the return and safety of all abducted officials, and the lifting of all sanctions and coercive measures. We affirm Venezuela's sovereignty without qualification. We affirm its right to self-determination without conditions. We affirm that imperialism in all its forms must be confronted, resisted, and defeated. The BPU also calls on settlers in Australia to confront the reality that the Australian colonial government is not a bystander in this violence, but an active arm of the Western imperial system. Australia provides military, intelligence, diplomatic, and ideological support to US imperial aggression while occupying stolen Indigenous land at home. Silence, neutrality, and moral distancing are forms of complicity. Settlers who oppose imperial violence abroad must oppose colonial violence where they stand. That means confronting the Australian state, rejecting its alignment with US empire, and refusing the comforts of denial. Solidarity with Venezuela requires action against the colonial regime that acts in our name and from this continent.
So you just heard the powerful words of Jasper Cohen-Hunter of the BPU, Black People's Union, saying some very important observations about the general circumstances that we're in the world and the political changes that are occurring that we have to face up to and struggle against. That was at the Hands Off Venezuela rally. And I have in front of me, I think it's worth reading, the statement by LASNET, the Latin American Solidarity Network, and Venezuela Solidarity Campaign about the attack by the United States forces. Quote, "The war being waged by the United States against Venezuela is not new. It's been going on for 26 years. The difference, this war is being escalated from reliance on economic and diplomatic war, isolated terrorist acts, towards open and much larger scale military intervention. On behalf of a cabal of finance, high-tech, military, oil, and other corporate interests, allied to the most reactionary political elite and media barons, Washington is feeding regional and global instability. This is increasing the risk of regional and world war. Meanwhile, the government and people of Venezuela have been busy preparing to defend their nation in various ways. Militarily, the armed forces have been getting ready, with an armed population organized as a civilian militia of more than 6 million civilians, making up battalions in the factories, farms, universities, other places of work, and in the streets. This is their military defense. Political defense is about building grassroots initiative through greater democratization. The vehicle is the extension of social sector voices and the political power of the communes, the working class, farmers, women, youth, students, indigenous communities, LGBTQ+, and, in their case, the military. These social sectors are electing national and state representatives, their own ministers operating in their own spheres, and in consultation with the national government. That's the introductory paragraphs done by Venezuela Solidarity Campaign and LASNET. You can contact them, Venezuela Solidarity Campaign, at vsc.melbourne@gmail.com. And Jasper Cohen-Hunter, I think, made a very important point in regard to, we look at the previous piece that was by the report from MALS about the behaviour of police using excessive force and to protect the military-industrial complex, and this is what the military-industrial complex is there for, of course, stealing the resources from people and using their instruments of murder to enforce it. What other word is it? Other word for that is it, is there for it, than state terrorism. It's an attack on decent people, and us decent people have to stand up against this and stand up for our right to do so, as was done last Monday at the rally. I'm just going to play a little another station identification, which I think is relevant also for our rights as well. No prisons, 3CR ID.
Every form of discrimination that exists in our community is magnified and utilised by prisons to cause greater division and disarm solidarity.
We've got to really put a lens of perspective on this and know that there are children being incarcerated as young as 10 years old.
Police and prisons, they're doing exactly what this colony wants them to.
Who do we defend?
Police!
And who else? Prisons! Pull them down!
Yeah. 3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
Yes, and we just heard one Indigenous...
Hang on, everybody.
Here's another Indigenous voice about the topic from the rally.
Senior lawmen of the Wadjibarik Nation, we're the fire keepers and hold law up at Camp Sovereignty. So we're representing peace and unity all over the world and the colonised nations. Absolutely disgusting what Trump's gone and done. And what I believe, I don't know much, but I know I love yous all. But what I believe is since the bombing of the Ukraine and all that, and then the world traded in the American dollar, and then China and Russia had enough, and they created BRICS and the UPU, and then the whole new currency. So the world's trading in two currencies now. And then bombing of the Nord pipeline and all that. And then they're stealing all the resources. There's wars going all around the world that are silent, not mentioned in the media, and that's all quiet, and nobody knows, and to steal everyone's resources and to knock the leaders of their country, and they want to replace them with their yes men. And there's a lot of resistance, and it's absolutely putrid, Trump doing what he did to the president of Venezuela. And all it is a resources grab. Just like they did in Palestine with the Ben Gurion and the Suez Canal, they want to put their world's biggest shipping right through the guts of Palestine. And as soon as they started bombing Palestine for the Gaza, all the gas and oil reserves off the water sea there, and they started signing contracts with Exxon and BP, etc., like that. They're just out stealing resources, and it's putrid at the detriment of the citizens of Venezuela and of Palestine and everything. There's just a land grab and a money grab, and yeah, they're absolutely evil, and the truth shall prevail.
Shame!
Thank you, Uncle.
Yatta, everyone. Thank you, Uncle. I just would like to start by acknowledging the lands of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, and the Bunurong, Bunwurrung speaking peoples of this land that we stand on today. I'd also like to extend our staunch solidarity out to the people of Venezuela. Fuck Trump and the war machine! We come here today as firekeepers of the sacred fire at Camp Sovereignty, and we come to let everyone know that the First Peoples stand in solidarity with the women of the water around the world, or the aunties, from the southern part of the Amazonian rainforest and the roots and the blue green lungs of this planet. We stand with you. We stand against the oppression and the political corruption that's taking place. We stand against spiritual and biological warfare. We stand against the rape and extraction of sacred country. And we stand for the sacred freshwater and salt water all around the globe. That sacred fire that extends right across the sky country all the way to Venezuela. And we stand with all of the Palestinian brothers and sisters, all of the Congolese brothers and sisters, and all of the West Papuan brothers and sisters, just to name a few. We want everyone to know that the First Nations aren't waiting for everyone and the political parties to catch up on protecting what we need to defend. We need to defend the sacred. And that starts with the fresh water and the salt water. And we need to call in the big water ceremony all around the world. Through ceremony, and when we stand in our law of the First Peoples, this is a solution to how we stop them. This is a solution to how we stand together, united. Sorry, I've been talking all day. When we stand united, the people have never been defeated. So around the world, we need to stand together, and we need to ask you in this land of the Rainbow Serpent to stand with the First Peoples, with the oldest continuum, living continuum of culture and law on this planet. We stand in that grandmother law, and that law brings sacred protection, defense for the sacred. That includes all of you and your ancestors, and that includes all of the lands that you come from and the sacred elementals, ancient. So we extend that protection and that healing and that strength and resilience to the people of Venezuela at this time, and we extend that around the world. And we want people to know that the sacred fire burns in us all. We all come from the tree of life, and we're all going to stand together against this bullshit. Thank you.
And just a reminder, the Frontier Wars has not ended here. We have an eternal flame for our dead, the repatriated bones up there, and that's what we're guards of. We protect the dead, and we have the eternal flame for our ancestors. Even up there, that's a massacre site, and Maya Music Mole is a military rubbish tip, and they've done a thorough genocide and ethnic cleanse there, and all our dead are in there, and the military bases across the road. And this is a state secret, and it's going to be exposed. And we're all one love and unity. So we're the fire keepers of that and of the dead. And all we're trying to do is get a bit of respect up there and have our eternal flame for our warriors in the frontier war and our ancestors' repatriated bones from all across Victoria's institutions. From them massacres and the bone trade, etc. Our bones are all over the world, all over Europe. We're the most studied people on the planet. Anyone know why? Because we're Bunjil's, God's chosen people. We're the first ones. All right? And the bloody Zionists, firecrackers can go stick the firecrackers up their ass.
And that's the take. The very wise take on this current situation that was voiced at the Hands Off Venezuela rally the other day by the firekeepers of Camp Sovereignty. Time's running out really quickly here. I'm going to play you another song just to keep our spirits up and remember that the future is still unwritten, and what we do can make a difference, and we can take history into our own hands. That's what activism is for.
Bitte Deutschland. Gibt keine Kohle, kein Quartier, denn der Rest von Europa wird gehartz IV. Puppe passiert genau jetzt und grad hier, wenn der Staat für die Bank, für den Markt rasiert. Während die Agenda Menschenmassen in die Gassen spült, aber immer noch die Aktien in die Taschen füllt, Leute aus den Häusern wirft und abtut, warten Technokraten auf ihr Wirtschaftswachstum. Was nun? Ja, ich weiß, wo ich bin und um meine Position. Über dich hinaus bedeutet, bei dir geht es los. Schreib und ich schreib hier, weil ich noch weiß, der Hauptfeind steht im eigenen Land. Fang mit eurem Widerstand in euren Kiezen an, bis für den Mietenkampf, für die Risse im Granit, solange wir wissen, the future is still unwritten.
El futuro es nuestro, el futuro no está escrito.
The future is still unwritten.
The future is still unwritten.
Über Grenzen hinaus für Menschen wie uns, denn
the future is still unwritten.
Muerte al capitalismo.
For a better world.
Now the future is still unwritten.
Κοίτα τριγύρω μου, τα πάντα έχουν αλλάξει σε μια χώρα. Ζω εδώ και χρόνια έχουν καταδικάσει κυβερνήσεις που κοιτάνε ο καθένας τι θα αρπάξει. Και πληρώνουν δολοφόνους να επιβάλλουν την τάξη. Ζω σε μια χώρα που δεν μας παρέχει υγεία και εισιτήρια. Για να φύγουμε έχουν γίνει τα πτυχία. Για μια ελευθερία με μαυαυτική ιστορία. Τώρα πετάνε χημικά λιγμένα στην πορεία. Είμαι κομμάτι και εγώ από το παζλ. Και θέλουν να με έχουν δεμένη στον κόσμο τους. Ήρθε η ώρα να κάνουμε κάτι. Ανοίξαν το χάρτη η Ελλάδα στο στόχο τους. Κι όλα στη μένα σε ένα παιχνίδι τραπεζό. Στην παγκόσμια αρένα. Όχι άλλο ψέμα. Συντονιστείτε. Αυτή είναι λίγη. Εμείς πολύ συγκεντρωθείτε. The future is still unwritten.
El futuro es nuestro. El futuro no está escrito.
The future is still unwritten.
Το μέλλον δεν γράφτηκε ακόμα. Όχι, δεν γράφτηκε ακόμα.
The future is still unwritten.
Es geht über Grenzen hinaus für Menschen wie uns.
The future is still unwritten.
Muerte al capitalismo.
For a better world.
Now the future is still unwritten.
Lo llaman crisis, pero es el capitalismo que utiliza estos procesos para reinventarse a sí mismo. Sutil engranaje de una máquina asesina. El tercer mundo está a la vuelta de la esquina. Cada día menos pan, pero más municiones. El ejército en las calles va tomando posiciones. Privilegios y poder por encima de las personas. Gritos y piedras contra pelotas de goma. Una familia entera en la calle se ha quedado. Alguien que no podía más se ha suicidado. Un nuevo luchador, torturado, encarcelado. Esto tiene un nombre fácil, es terrorismo de Estado. Solidaridad y apoyo mutuo, nuestras armas.
A veces no bastará solo con palabras. El futuro será nuestro y no será el que ellos nos dicten. The future is still unwritten. El futuro es nuestro, el futuro no está escrito.
The future is still unwritten.
Δεν γράφτηκε ακόμα. Όχι, δεν γράφτηκε ακόμα.
The future is still unwritten.
Über Grenzen hinaus für Menschen wie uns.
The future is still unwritten.
Muerte al capitalismo.
For a better world.
Now the future is still unwritten.
Yes. The future is still unwritten. Let's get out there this year in 2026. Like all those great people that came to the rally against the what do you call it, 1930s style fascistic attack on the Venezuelan people and the you know, they're practiced in disappearing people with ICE organization in part of the state forces of violence in the United States, and they just do it to presidents of countries willy-nilly and say, we're in charge now. Well, not enough. Australia should leave AUKUS, military pact, and the Five Eyes intelligence network and key components of the US-Australia alliance. It is just not on to collaborate with states that behave in such rogue manners as this. And there's no excuse for it. So, looks like we're coming up to the end of the show. This has been Community Centromere. In future, there's the next couple of weeks of the show in the summer programming period here on 3CR, which you can hear at 855 on your AM dial or 3cr.org.au. Yeah, and we'll next time, the purpose of the show is actually to promote activities that will be coming up, but it seemed like such an important event and maybe an inspiration for people to struggle to bring up this awful attack that happened against Venezuela as a main point. I had a lot more material about it to play, but, you know, I probably spent too much time talking myself. So I guess we'll go out with a song or maybe a couple of songs, depending on the amount of time, and I hope you have a lovely and enjoyable rest of the day and keep your eye out for activities in which you can help make sure that the way the future is written is the way we want it, and we need it for people's livelihood and in a decent way and against colonialism and imperialism. Speaking of which, here is a song called Yankee Go Home.
Solamente hablo en español, pero entiendo a los pueblos cuando dicen Yankee, go home. Tengo es muy escaso, es un inglés de Mister y Jalón, pero entiendo a los pueblos cuando exhibe Yankee Go Home. Dicen en Manila y en Corea, en Panamá, en Turquía y en Japón, el clamor es el mismo en todas partes.
Yankee, go home.
Este inglés me basta, aunque precario, para gritar con fuerza y con razón y con criterio revolucionario. Yankee, go home. Basta con mi voz nacionalista para exigir con firme decisión y con razones antiimperialistas.
Yankee, go home.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.